Hallelujah. Let's go to John 3:16. I don't know if this is a message or a pep talk, but God has this habit of just interrupting things. Actually, to him, it's not an interruption. He's planned it all along, right? To me, it's an interruption because for whatever reason, I was a little out of sync. But I'm one of those folks where I listen to what people say. That's why some of you, something will happen, you'll see me pick up my iPad and start going. I believe God had iPads invented just for me, because I'm probably the first known tongue writer who can't interpret his own tongues. And so I would write all these notes and I'd look at them and I can't read them. I'm writing so fast. And so you'll see me, I'll stop and I'll write things down while God is downloading and I'm just recording. And then somewhere along the line it just comes out. Well, this is one of those times. But let's read John 3:16 and 17. And then he gave me a love confession for us based on our being believers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now let's look at the screen and let's make this confession. I am a believer. Let's read it. The love of God is evident in me. Therefore, I am kind. I am not envious. I don't boast, brag, or strut about. I am not arrogant. I am never rude, crude, or indecent. I am not self-absorbed. I am not easily upset. Stop right there. Take a deep breath. And now let's read that again as a proclamation. I am not easily upset. Okay. Yeah, I know that ministers, right? Okay. I don't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice. I delight in truth. I put up with anything and anyone that comes along. Stop right there, take two breaths. Okay. As a matter of fact, stand up. Point at it. And say, I put up with anything and anyone that comes along. Praise the Lord. I will trust, hope, and endure no matter what. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's why we have to proclaim those things. Because the enemy has scouts out there to cause you to exhibit the opposite of what you just said. That's why it's so important to understand his promptings. He's like, what's that, Lost in Space? Had that robot, danger, danger, Will Robinson, right? An agent of the enemy will come and the Holy Ghost will prompt you. Danger. You have to say, let your words be seized. Let me season your words. Danger. I didn't. What'd you say, Pastor Hill?
Season them with grace.
That's right. Season them with grace. I need to know how to answer this sister, this brother. That's right. See, we get upset when God sends, when they show up, but did you ever stop to think that God may have sent them directly to you? And I got newsflash. It wasn't to test you. He sent them to you because he's confident that you will speak the words he gives you into their lives. He's sending them to people who can look past their defenses. and see them the same way our Father sees them. But you have to have something to do it. You have to have power to do that. Let's go to Acts 1. Everybody say, I am power. I heard Pastor Judy say that. Hair almost grew on my head. Uptown, she said up at the village. My mate should have said it a few more times, I'd have had something. I'm going to read Acts 1, verse 8. Very, very familiar scripture. I know everybody knows it, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified, the CEV, and the Voice. It says, but you shall receive power. Say power. Power. It's ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When do you receive the power? Okay, is anybody in here that had the Holy Spirit come upon them? Just want to make sure I'm in the right place. Because I should be standing in the midst of great power. Okay. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. That includes those areas. You say, I ain't going into that area. The contemporary English version says, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and everywhere in the world. I like the way the Voice translation puts it. It gives it a little 70s spin. Really, you know, because in the 70s, with flower power and all this other stuff that was going on, folks would come and they say, I'm going to drop some knowledge on you. Okay. The Voice translation says, here's the knowledge you need. Okay. You will receive power. Think about it. This is the knowledge you need. You'll receive power. When someone says that to you, the only other question is, when? Well, he answers it. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses first here in Jerusalem, then beyond to Judea and Samaria, and finally to the farthest places on the earth. I'm telling you, when Pastor Judy said, you know, we have to get comfortable realizing that we are power, and she had people say, just say I am power. You know, she says with her drawl. And when I said it, it kind of resonated in me. And it's still, every time I say it, it's like, yeah, I am power. See, too many times as believers, we're getting smacked to and fro because we're waiting for power. We're looking for power. We're hoping a little bit of power comes, and we don't realize we already, not that we already have it, we're already it. And that's not a statement of arrogance. We just said we're believers. We're not arrogant. That's not arrogance. That's truth. And we need to stop being afraid to operate in the truth of who we are.
Amen.
We have to stop being afraid of it. Because we're dealing with some things. We're being hindered by some things because we won't realize who we are.
Amen.
You all remember the parable of the sower? It said, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then comes the evil one and catches away that which was sown in your heart. So by not understanding that you are power, you put yourself in a position where the enemy could take away your identity. And you'll walk around not knowing who you are and acting like it.
Amen.
And so here we have a peculiar people who are put here with the express purpose of being demonstrations of the power of God, not understanding that we are. Not understanding. And that principle gets a lot of people in trouble. Folks aren't faithful in relationships because they don't understand what relationship really is. There are problems between husbands and wives because each one don't really understand what God was talking about when he said, you're a husband, you're a wife. We don't take the time to understand those things. We'd rather take what the world says about them and keep getting into trouble. I mean, that's just, why do we do that? I don't know where, I probably said this before, I don't know where the phrase came from. I think it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life, this whole concept of a man cave. That sounds prehistoric to me. Okay. So what do you carry around a big bone and she doesn't do what you said, you just clunk in the head and come dragging her? Please, man cave. Your brain caved. That's what happened to you. No, but see, that's what the enemy wants. Because as long as you walk around with that type of attitude, marriages will frizzle. And the divorce rate among believers will keep climbing. When we have the power, we are the power to show this world, this is what it means to be married. This is how a married couple lives. This is what a married couple does. And this is what a married couple does not do. And we put a big period there. Not a comma or any other punctuation mark. We need to understand that we are not, I am not defined by my outward appearance. See, it's what that's put in you defines who you are. I mean, I don't want anybody to get hungry, but you just take a little simple donut, stick some jelly in it, what do you got? It's whole identity change just because you put something else into it. Changed it. It's no longer just a donut. It has a different taste. And not that, you know, I'm encouraging you to eat donuts, but you eat a donut, you'll get X amount of calories. You eat a jelly donut, you'll get even more. Why? Because of what was put into it. God showed me a simple, very simple illustration concerning a balloon. You take a balloon, put it to your lips, and blow it up, you have an air balloon. It has some characteristics. It'll float for a little bit of time. No, not forever, it'll float. You could, if I stood here and threw it at you, it'd never reach you. Okay? Just because of the air. And if it did hit you, it wouldn't hurt you. Okay? I could throw it into the table, nothing will happen. It'll just come back off. Now, I fill that same balloon with helium, have some different qualities. I throw it at you, it still won't get you, but it'll just keep going up, and I'll never see it again. Okay? Put some water in that balloon. Changes its whole character. It's no longer a balloon. Now it's a water balloon. You throw a water balloon at somebody, it'll reach them and it'll cause some discomfort. You drop it, it will explode. Why? What went in it changed its characteristics. And it's no different with us. Adam was a perfect being. If you look in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, I believe it'll tell you, Adam was made in the image and likeness of the Godhead. Made in the image and likeness of the Godhead by God. Who can never make a mistake. So Adam was perfectly made. He was God on the earth. Adam was. When God put him in the garden, what did he tell him to do? This is your garden. You dress it. You keep it. Everything in the garden was created to respond to Adam. Why? Because when God formed Adam, he was just this shell. And God breathed himself into Adam. All of the attributes of God, all of the power of God went into Adam. He was the power of the garden. He was. He just didn't understand it. He was the power. What he said went. Period. He didn't understand it. He didn't know that he was the power. And then he turns around and uses the serpent as an excuse for a change of heart. You say, what do you mean as an excuse? Well, if you read in over in, I think it's 2 Timothy, either 1 or 2 Timothy, it says very clearly, Adam was not deceived. The devil didn't fool Adam. He fooled Eve, yes, but he didn't fool Adam. Adam knew exactly what was going on. But he allowed something to happen, not realizing he was the power. Not realizing that the first person he could have taken power over was himself. And all of us are guilty of that. All of us. So how can you say that? You think about those thoughts that come into your head. That you allow to turn into actions. When you, not realizing you are the power. You can say, no brain, you are not going to have those thoughts. I am not going to think those thoughts about this person. No, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to count all these things this person has done. No, I'm not going to do it. We have the power to make those choices. And the body can't override them. What happens is, just like what happens sometimes when raising small children, they keep whining and nagging and eventually you give in. Why? You forget that you're the power. And I don't care how many times you whine about it, the answer is still the same. No. All right? And your continued whining will have an effect on me. Okay. And then in turn, it just might have a little effect on you too. Okay. But if you don't realize you have the power, you don't make those kind of choices because you don't think you can. Then you go around looking for answers. Grab Dr. Spock's book and tell you all these things. And then 20 years later, he says, I was wrong. I know what I was talking about. Well, duh. You know. And that same principle is at work everywhere. But we as believers, we need to understand that we are the power that God authorized here in the earth. How many of you need to see a Supreme Court judge out there with a team of its, what do you call it, the bailiff? Yeah, with the bailiffs. Standing on the corner before you decide to stop at that traffic light. Right? When that police officer says, pull over, you don't look at him and say, I need more than you if you want me to stop. Oh, no. You understand he's the power. You understand that inanimate traffic light is the power. It says, stop, and you stop. And just because no one is around, it'll take your picture and you'll be getting a summons in the mail. Right? Why? Because you defied the power. But see, the municipalities understand power. Believers need to develop the same understanding that we are power. And what we say has to happen. You don't believe that? It's not my notes, but go to Mark. What is it, Mark 11? What does it say in verse 23? Just read out loud.
Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed.
And be thou. And. But shall that then you shall have you shall have whatsoever you say. The problem is not understanding that we are the power. We've been saying powerless things. And we've been and when we try and say them with power, we have too much doubt. And it doesn't work because Jesus was specific and shall not doubt. Doubt means maybe it will or maybe it won't. I don't know, but we'll give this thing a shot. And we'll say something, and I know we absolutely don't understand how devastating this statement is, yet we use it all the time. I'll try it. You'll try it? Try means you're not sure. So I'm going to see if I'm able to. Because I don't know if I can really do this thing. But hey, we'll give it a try. Hey, what the hey? What's the worst that can happen? You can die before your time. That's the worst that can happen. Or someone else gets negatively affected. See, Adam didn't think, I have the power. I'm the power over every creeping thing. Well, I'm a creeping thing. So my body has to listen to me. My thoughts and emotions have to listen to me. He didn't do that, and he forfeited the power. I'm so glad that God is merciful. I'm not going to go into it now because it'll take too long, but through Christ Jesus, we were placed in a position where we can get the power back. And the reason I didn't say we get it all back because some folks are not going to receive it. Unfortunately. But that scripture, going back to the scripture, it says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends, very bounds of the earth. And I started thinking, why do we need his power to be a witness? And then I started thinking, what is it that I'm supposed to be a witness of? Or of what am I supposed to be a witness? What is it? His power. His power. Think about the commission. Go ye into all the world and do what? He that believes and he that believeth not. And then he says something that's critical, folks. These signs shall follow those that believe. These witnesses will have something following them to prove that what they're saying is absolutely true. And the disciples believed it because it says they went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. What signs? Acts of power. They accompany the preaching of the gospel. Not discussing the gospel, preaching the gospel. This is the way it is. For God so loved. I saw something when I was looking at this, it just changed my whole attitude. When John the Baptist sent out folks, because he wanted to know, is Jesus the real deal? And Jesus said, look what I've done. And think about what he said. Blind eyes open, the deaf hear. And he did not say, and the poor get rich. He said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I looked at that and I said, wait a minute. As far as the poor are concerned, unless God tells you to do something additional, preaching the gospel to them is the only thing he requires. God doesn't require you to open up your bank account and give them money. He doesn't require it. Now, I'm not saying there are not times when he's going to move on someone to do that, but the gospel being preached to the poor is a sign, according to Jesus, of the power. It's a witness that Jesus is the Christ. It's a witness, Deacon Phillips just said, that it will change lives. Can't just do for. The gospel is teaching someone hungry how to fish so they will never be hungry again. And the first thing, I like what the way Pastor Clinton put it, said the gospel to the poor is the poor don't have to be poor no more.
Right.
Okay. But when you look up the word witness, according to the dictionary, witness is a verb and a noun. And I like that because that means we do something to become something. That's what we have. Well, it's just like you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you will be saved. You have to do something to become something. And I was looking up witness because we all pretty much know the general definitions of witness. Right? It's to see, you see something, you hear something, you know, either by personal knowledge or perception. You were present when something happens. It means you saw it with your own eyes. That's how it's used as a verb. You know, you witness a crime. You witness a good, doesn't have to be a crime. You witness a great event. You know, you were in the delivery room, you witnessed the birth of your children. But there was a definition of the word as a noun that caught my attention. Listen to this, witness. To be evidence or proof of something. It's also witness. And I believe that it's that definition that Jesus was talking about when he said, well, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my proof. You're going to be my proof that Father sent me. You're going to be my proof that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're going to be my proof that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You're going to be my proof. Because he has to have proof. Undisputed proof as to who Jesus is, who God is, and who we are. So in order to demonstrate his power so I can be an effective witness, I must be power. How can I demonstrate something that I am not? Yeah, I could get on the drums and pound on the drum, but I can't demonstrate how to play the drums because I am not a drummer. I can't play the guitar. I can play an iPod. Like Mel, a film youth director with Melvin Duckenfield. They said, do you play instruments? He said, yeah, I played a cassette. I played a radio. Okay. See, I can demonstrate that. But I can't demonstrate how to play a keyboard or B3. I'm not a keyboard player. I don't have that in me. I can demonstrate how to be a husband. I can demonstrate how to be a father. I can demonstrate how to be a grandfather. I can demonstrate how to pastor. Why? That's what I am. I'm not a drummer. I'm not a keyboard player. I'm not a singer. I sing, but I'm not a singer. Now, I can be a demonstration of how not to sing. I have that one down. But you understand, in order to demonstrate something, you have to be it. But we're going to go a little further? Because there's something else I need you to see. Matthew 17. You one of those types that, you know, are prone to get up and take off, you may want to unstrap yourself, because I don't want you to hurt yourself when you get off and you're still strapped in. I got excited when I saw this. Matthew 17. Now, this is after, you know, the disciples couldn't cast the demon out of the boy. So we're going to pick it up at verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast them out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, who was he talking to? So he was talking to us. He said, nothing shall be impossible to you if you believe, if you have faith. So when I read that, it's obvious that Jesus had an expectation of them. Why? Because they were with him, personally trained by him. He knew what he had already given them, and he didn't see it. But I want to link up with another scripture that uses the word impossible in the same manner. Matter of fact, it's the only two times that impossible is used with that specific definition. I'll give you that in a minute. Luke 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So Luke let us know that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Jesus said, if we have faith, nothing shall be impossible to us either. Well, Adunateo is the Greek word for impossible. It's the root word is adunateos. No, adunatos is the Greek word that adunateo is derived from. One means not to have strength, power, or ability. The other one means powerless. Jesus said, nothing shall cause you to be powerless. If you believe. Okay? So when the scripture says with God, nothing shall be impossible, it means that there is nothing outside. Think about this. There's nothing outside of, nothing greater than, nothing that can ever supersede God's power. That's what with God, nothing can supersede his power. When we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing can supersede our power. Nothing can be outside of our power. That means there is nothing that can go on in your life that you don't already have the ability to handle, because you already have the power. What you don't have intact is the believing. Because the scripture is clear. It's clear. There should be nothing outside of our power. Nothing that can ever happen that we can't get back under control. Amen. Nothing can come up that has the right to disobey what we say.
Amen.
Nothing.
Hallelujah.
Problem is, we don't believe it. So we don't act like it. And we wind up victims of something that's already been defeated. You need to think about that. Jesus said the other thing the young man asked me about in the salon. He said, well, if God looks out for you, what about all these tribulation things that come up? Why does he allow that to happen? I said, he said, no, why does he bring that on, people? I said, he doesn't bring it on. He allows it to happen because he's already equipped us to handle it. Jesus said, if you live in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, don't be concerned about it. We've already overcome the world. So I told him, so that means no matter what happens, you keep the same demeanor. I'm still the power. Is a police officer still the power even after he clocked you doing 90? His power didn't diminish because you disobeyed. No, because you disobeyed, you got a chance to taste his power. Okay? I remember being out there in the world, and I did not like to fight. I knew how to fight, and I was very good. But I didn't like fighting. I didn't like hurting people. But I didn't want to be hurt. So if it came down to me or you, it wasn't going to be me. Okay? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. So I didn't like it. But if the opportunity arose and my only option was fight, then guess what? You were going to experience why I tried to talk you out of it. I'd do everything humanly possible to a degree. I got to be honest. You know, because I would just say, look, why don't you just leave me alone? I wouldn't say that. I'd say, you need to just leave me alone before something bad happens to you, okay? You know. Well, see, that in itself is a challenge. It's a subtle challenge. I really didn't know it at the time. I was just speaking my mind. But as I started gaining some sense, I realized that's just challenging someone. But the police, my point is, they do everything within their power. They post signs. Hey, what the speed limit is, do all these things, but if you disregard them, you're going to feel the wrath of their power. When stuff comes, just like, you know, today was really the first time that the enemy said, oh, you could tell them to raise your hand. We'll make sure that you can't raise your hand. Well, okay. You know, we tried. It's like, okay, we tried to be nice about this. Okay. But if you don't want to go that route, that's fine. As I told someone once, I get a better workout playing basketball than whipping your butt, but if you want to fight, okay. Okay. I mean, that's the way my attitude was, and that's the way your attitude needs to be concerning everything that concerns you. Look, you need, I'm telling you right now, I'm the power. And this isn't based on my own ego. It's what my father said. Now, you're going to have to go. You can either go calmly, or my angels are going to eject you. Either way, you're leaving. Okay? Period. Nothing open for discussion. No terms of surrender. No, this is unconditional. Sickness, you got to go. No, this isn't your 2-week notice. You're not employed here. No, you go now. Right now. In Jesus' name. And you don't doubt, oh, I hope it works. Or just because it hangs around a little bit. Jesus already gave us that example. When he called the demon out, it said he thrashed the boy about and made him look like he was dead. Why? All it would have taken was for a nanosecond Jesus saying, oh, maybe I don't have that. And it would have just dug itself back in. But Jesus, he didn't even address it twice. Come out of him. Went on his way. Probably didn't even look back to see if it worked. He knew it worked. Why? He was the power. He knew it. You're the power. You have to know it. 2 Timothy 1. Well, on your way there, John 20. Jesus said to us, as the Father has sent me, now I send you. God sent Jesus full of power. God sent Jesus full of grace and truth. That's how we sent Jesus. Jesus had power over all the works of the enemy, period. He went into hell, spoiled principalities, made a show of them openly. Led the captivities out captive. And he said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So you can go into places and leave the captives out. You can walk up and down through drug-infested neighborhoods, lead the people out. You can. Can't be scared. Can't say, man, they got automatic weapons. You got the power of God. And you have his promise. See, when God says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, that makes you invincible. Because that means there isn't anything anybody could come at you with that will work. But it doesn't mean they're not going to come at you. When they come, don't run away. Run, but not away. Because you're not running away, where you're running? You're running toward them. Oh, you want some of this, huh? I thought you were going to leave. You start going. Oh, no. I got something for you. But see, I don't want you to go to hell either. So, yeah, you have to get out of this neighborhood doing this type of work. But I'm going to give you opportunity right now to receive the same Jesus that I did. Because God so loves you. See, it's not enough just to drive them out of one neighborhood, because they're just going to take up residence in another neighborhood. The key is to get their heart changed. And since we are the power, we have the power to change. So what kind of power we have? The same power that when God said, light be, Light was. We have the same power, folks. We just don't understand it. Now go to 2 Timothy 1, complete Jewish Bible. It says, God gave us a spirit who produces not timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. He didn't give us three spirits. He gave us one. That one spirit. So you know what that means? You can't be the power and hate. Unless it's sin. You can't be the power and be out of control. You can't. You can't be the power and be afraid. Because God did not give us that spirit. He gave us a spirit that put into us power, love, and a sound mind. So you don't make irrational choices. You ain't crazy. You don't have ADD or EFG or any other initials that they try and say. You don't have it. You have a sound mind. And that's what you have to confess over yourself. And that's what we have to confess over our children. And stop putting all this credence in what the doctors say. They can only tell you, remember I said, you can only be a demonstration of who you are. That's what was put in them. So that's who they are. That's what they know. At least they're telling people what they know to be true. All God needs is for his children to do the same thing. Tell people what we know to be true. And the truth is, you've not been given a spirit of fear. You've been given the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, period. The voice says, you see, God did not give us a cowardly spirit, but a powerful, loving, and disciplined spirit. Disciplined. Want some good news? Where's a good news translation? For the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. Amplified Bible kind of balances everything out. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing, of fawning and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. So nothing should come like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I don't, no, no, a calm and well-balanced mind. Let me tell you something about bullies. They feed on fear. When you stand in front of them, I tell everyone, I was most dangerous when I was calm. I didn't go off on anyone, I'm in a rage. No, I'm calm. I'm like, enough is enough. I'm telling you, you about 3 seconds from going to sleep. Okay? Just leave me alone. Go find somebody else. But no, don't. I'm telling you, don't say it. All right? And that's the way, devil, you must have forgotten who I am. But let me remind you. Remember how you felt when Jesus said he saw you like lightning fall? It's about to happen again. Okay. If you don't leave now on your own will, someone's going to be held you as lightning flying out of here. Simple. And while you're saying that, He's sensing your heart. And he's sensing, this guy ain't afraid of me. This guy knows what he's talking about. He said, well, can you prove that scripturally? What about the seven sons of Sceva? Okay. They didn't have the power. They knew of the power. So they encountered some ignorant, probably immature demons. Because the Bible says one day the evil spirit spoke back. That means other days it didn't. See, they were able to bluff their way through some things because the demon just didn't know. In the name of Jesus, Paul preaches about. And they, woo. All they knew is they were trained. Don't mess with Jesus. So they heard Jesus. They heard Paul. They'd get in the wind. All right. The mature ones were like, yeah, I know Jesus. And I heard about Paul. But who are you? And one demon beat seven men out of their clothes. Now, Miss Ruby knew how to whip you, but she never whipped me out of my clothes. Okay. I've never seen anyone getting beaten out of their clothes before, but this one demon beat these guys out of their clothes. They left beaten, naked, and bloodied. Why? Because they were trying to bluff their way through, pretending, having a form of godliness, but denying. Folks, we are God's power on display. That's the deal. We were made power to do works. The power should always be prevalent. God didn't allow us to become power to do nothing. When you plug into an extension cord, do you get the same power that if you were right at the source? Well, we're his extension cords. We're already connected. Now we have to go out and connect with everything else. I'm almost through. There's another principle here. When I woke up yesterday, I was fidgeting around, and I tell my wife, I said, I didn't have my phones and things upstairs because they all the noises and alarms and things wake you up when you don't want to wake up. Oh, so I found a piece of cardboard and wrote it down slowly so I could read it. There's still two words on there I couldn't read, but I figured it out. Okay. James 2:26. He told me to share it in the voice. I apologize, I'm a little over 45 minutes, but we got to get this in. Can't finish on Wednesday, I won't be here. James 2:26 out of the voice translation. Removing action from faith is like removing breath from a body. All you have left is a corpse. Some translators say faith without works is dead. So the faith we have is evident in what we do. In the same way, we have to first believe that because of Jesus, we are the power. Then we have to prove it by what we do. We have to prove it. Jesus said, I told you before, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. The power will follow those who understand they have the power. The disciples went forth. The lame man was healed at the gate beautiful because the disciples knew they were the power. They knew it. Silver and gold don't have any. But what I have, this relationship that I have, this power that I have, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it. They couldn't give what they didn't have, folks. It took power to make this man whole. It took power. They couldn't give it if they didn't have it. Remember, we were given power, love, and a sound mind. What about that earthquake? Earthquake, this one I told you this many times, it amazes me. There's an earthquake, and the only thing it affects are prison doors and shackles. Nobody else in the town knew there was an earthquake. No one's house shook. Just the jail. And it didn't crumble the walls. Didn't make the doors fall off the hinges. Just unlocked them. That's all it did. Drop the shackles off. And remember it said power, love, and a sound mind? Well, Paul and Silas, they were so cool, they didn't jump up and say, let's get out of here, we're free. No, they were still concerned about the jailers. And what would happen to him had they just got up and booked? But why did the earthquake happen? Paul and Silas were not afraid. It said that at midnight, which we learned at the time when the witches and stuff to start doing their work, at midnight, they started praying and praising loud enough that the other prisoners heard them. Almost ran over and showed this to Pastor Jesse when he was exhorting during praise and worship, because this is what the Holy Ghost showed me. He said, that's one of the reasons the music is loud. That's one of the reasons we encourage you to sing loud. That's one of the reasons we ask you to scream loud. It's a sign that you're not afraid or ashamed of the gospel and the power that it made us. And it produces demonstrations and ushers in the glory of God. So we get loud because we're not ashamed. Look at it. We are not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, no. No, Paul and they weren't ashamed. They see, you know what most of us will do? We'll sit there and say, I'm not going to pray right now. Because after all, my relationship with Christ is what got me in here in the first place. How are the other people going to think I'm going to talk about how great God is and I'm sitting here in stocks? Those stocks are just an opportunity for everybody to see the demonstration of the power of God. What was the end result? The jailer and his entire household got saved. You talk about power. Somebody beat you and leave you for dead. And you get up and walk back into the city. You get beaten, threatened, and the Bible said firmly, they're threatened, they were severely threatened, they were firmly threatened. I don't know all these degrees of threats here. But they whipped them and left them bloody and then said, do not preach in that name. They get out of jail, go back into the city, and go house to house preaching in that name. Why? See, just because you get beaten doesn't mean the power left you. It's just another demonstration that there is nothing that can supersede the power. So there had to be a demonstration. So what? You got beaten. Didn't stop you. Didn't stop you. So what? My shoulder muscle is healing itself. Doesn't stop me. If it needs a little assist, it'll get a little assist. If I need somebody to assist me, they'll assist me. What's the bottom line? The arm's going up. Okay? Period. Folks, you have to understand that you are the power. You have to get loud about it. You have to get it. It has to be. See, we don't have any covert power operators here. No, everything is out in the open. Because you want everybody to see. You're on stage. So what if it doesn't work? Well, see, now you just unplugged. You just drained all your power because you have doubt. That Sunday, when God told me to call those people out here, he said, because one of their legs is shorter than the other and I want to straighten it out, thought never entered to me what will happen if it doesn't grow out. Never entered my mind. It's like, okay, come on out. And four legs. Four. Went from one being short to the other. One actually went out of the store and had to go back. Why? Power of God. Not from anything I did. It wasn't me. All I did was believe what God told me. That's all I ever do. If God says do it, I'm doing it. I don't care what anyone thinks about it. You didn't die for me. That's the thing. And I'm not so sure you'd stay there if someone shot a bullet. Okay. You say, I ain't a Secret Service person. I ain't sign up for this. Okay. So I need you to do something. Okay. I'm going to ask you to stand again. I know I've asked you to stand a lot. Okay. And I'm going to ask you to scream out something. Okay, will you do it? Okay. I didn't hear everybody, but I think it meant everybody. Okay. Okay. I want you to scream out, I got the power! I've received power! Because the Holy Ghost has come upon me. I am power. So I walk on snakes. I walk on scorpions. And I walk on all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any way harm me. Say, I am quick. I'm powerful. And I'm sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm God's child. I'm made in his image. I'm after his likeness. All power in heaven and earth was given to me just like it was given to Jesus. So, devil, I'm putting you on notice. I understand that I am power. And you're about to be booted out all the affairs of my life. And give Lord a crazy praise. Hallelujah.